everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. I'm joined once again by Heather Hardy. Thanks so much for joining the show. And first of all, you know, I gotta show you that I'm wearing the t-shirt right now.
Aww, up in the team Hardy. I love it.
Gotta rep the team Hardy and wear it proudly. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, I'm just excited to talk to you. Obviously, it's been a crazy year for everyone. And, you know, there's a lot obviously going on in the world right now, but want to try to keep this, you know, kind of positive and just looking forward into this new year. And, you know, I will say your social media, obviously, you've been posting a lot of funny stuff that I think people, you know, have been really enjoying and helping them get through these times. And, and also, you know, some training and stuff, like obviously with Gleason's being back open now, you know, I think it's been a few months, right, where they opened. That must be, you know, obviously amazing feeling once they reopened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they were closed. We were closed until July. So to have the doors open back up, you know, we can't spar. All the coaches aren't back yet, but it is becomes a source of income when we can teach people there. So it's been quite a relief.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's just like amazing to get back into the gym, right? I mean,
yeah,
being cooped up like that, especially for, you know, someone who's an athlete, you know, it's terrible.
For sure. I mean, I'm still not really training because without boxing fights, I have to rely on my second job, which is my personal training and boxing coach kind of job to pay the bills. I don't have that one or two or three fight checks a year to fall back on. So I've really like transformed from training myself to training people.
Right. And like headed into 2021, or we're in 2021 now, but you know, at the start of this year, I guess, like, is there anything on the horizon for you in terms of boxing or MMA or any plans that are starting to come together for you? I know you've been tweeting out some potential matchups, looking for a fight, but any news there?
Yeah, I mean, I've decided to go up a couple weight classes. 126 was always really, really hard for me to get to. And with not training for the last year through the pandemic and stuff, I just, 135 is a much better fit for me on the return. Who knows if I'll stay there? I might get back, do something at 135 and then realize, okay, 126 is reachable again. But I need my first jump back in to be at 135, you know, just to gradually get my body back down to fight shape and ring shape and boxing shape and size and things like that. I don't want to say that I have something on the horizon outside of, I'm in close contact with my promoter and he knows what I'm looking for. So I'm sure that once boxing starts up again in New York or in, across the states, really, where you can get a match, that we'll be looking to open up with like a small six rounder, maybe at 135.
So boxing is definitely going to come first probably this year.
I mean, it would really have to. MMA was always my second home. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to start getting myself back into fight shape, a small non-title undercard boxing match just to get the process back in my bones is mandatory.
Yeah, definitely. And looking at those, you know, higher weight classes, you know, I was curious, obviously you just said 135, but is there any thoughts at maybe 130 after a couple fights at 135? Or I know there's, you know, particularly some champions in that weight class that, you know, don't have as much experience as you. There might be, you know, definitely some opportunity there. I was curious what your opinion was, or thoughts, I should say, on Mayer Brodnicka fight.
I have been so far removed from boxing. 2020, I didn't have a fight. My last fight was in 2019 when I lost my title at 126. And I really don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to commentating, having an opinion, who I want to fight, right? Like, I'm not, normally you come off a big loss like that. If you want to stay relevant, you got to get right back on the horse, keep fighting, prove your worth. And I didn't get to do that in 2020 because of the pandemic. So it seems wildly irresponsible and kind of tasteless for me to talk about the other girls who stayed busy and whether or not I see a potential fight with them, because those are the relevant girls, right? Those are the ones who have to say they want to fight me for it to to make sense. I will say that I'm coming back on 135 and I don't know if I'm going to stay there. I have some unfinished business I feel like is left at 126, but I'm not physically in a position to talk about fighting at that low weight right now. So all I can say is, yes, I'm going to box again. We're coming back at 35. I'm going to see how I feel.
Okay, that's fair. And, you know, we're all excited to watch that, whoever the matchup will be. I won't push any more on rumored matchups, but, you know, I can't help it. I see on Twitter people talking and I'm a fan, so I get excited. You know, I want to see you back in there soon. So,
for sure.
But to change speed a little bit, you know, just kind of in the boxing MMA news, you know, Clarissa Shields obviously making that jump into MMA. You know, you're obviously someone who's doing it, Holly Holm, someone who's done it. You know, just kind of curious what your perspective is on Clarissa making that move, whether it's good for boxing for a star like that to leave the sport. If it's good for Clarissa, good move, kind of just what you overall think there.
So I think that we all left for the same reason, because boxing doesn't care about us. Boxing didn't care about me, and who the hell was I, right? I was a local hometown fight hero. Clarissa is a two-time Olympic gold medalist who's having trouble getting a fight. So boxing didn't care about little old me, didn't care about 7 weight class world champion Amanda Serrano. It didn't care about multiple world champion local hero Holly Holm, and it doesn't care about Clarissa Shields. And, you know, I can only speak of my own mindset. It was like, I'm not getting any younger. I'm wasting my time. It's like loving a bad boyfriend. You want kids, you want a family, you want to get a house, you want to settle down. And this guy's still looking to go out and party and promising you next year, next year, next year. You know, she's in her prime. Why is she going to sit on the shelf for a year and not fight? I mean, it's for an undisputed world champion. She's done what no other boxer has done, and gold medal twice and back-to-back Olympics. And if she's having trouble and this is the way she has to go, then it's not good or bad for boxing. It's more like, fuck boxing, man. Boxing don't care about us. Why should we care about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked with, you know, Alicia Napoleon, Espinoza Napoleon, and you know, she said many similar things to you, a lot of frustrations with what's going on in the sport right now on the women's side. You know, it is kind of interesting. Just looking at the women's game right now, like you do see, obviously you see some fighters like Katie Taylor or Michaela Mayer and like certain fighters getting big pushes, and you know, the broadcast teams and everyone's kind of trying to push the narrative that look how women's boxing is blossoming. But then it seems like when you really talk to most of the women fighters, you know, that's not the same sentiment at all. So it's kind of I don't know if that made sense, but it's interesting kind of what's being fed to the fans versus what's really going on.
Well, right, because the common fan is led to believe that there are only two really good people and they deserve their spot, and that's why they get there. And I'm not taking away from Michaela or Katie or Clarissa or anybody else. Of course they deserve their spot, but we've evolved from a time where we're not talking about there can only be one good female at a time. There are tons of us who are good. We're just not getting the representation. And, you know, I respect that the Olympic runs really helped these girls, the international competition, but women weren't allowed to box in the Olympics until 2012. So you got a bunch of us kicking around who can really fight that just never got that platform. So you can only hope that as the Olympic classes go on and on and on, more and more women will be showcased. I mean, you got Terry Harper, Natasha Jonas, you know, there's a handful of those girls over there in the UK who are getting the spotlight, but the American promoters are just kind of far behind. But I say that to say this, even them girls who are getting the spotlight, they're not getting the same money the boys are. I don't care if they're making good money. I don't care if these girls feel like I'm making fair money. They're not making the same money. And sorry, but no freedom until we're equal.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting, obviously, with the MMA side, you know, different landscape. The UFC seems to handle it, you know, totally differently. They have, or Bellator as well. But, you know, you look at a average UFC card and it's not uncommon to see women headlining it with other title fights on the card.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they can be a leader. They are a leader in combat sports and doing that. You know, hopefully it starts to trickle down into boxing as things hopefully change. But is there anything that, you know, comes to mind with just kind of solutions for this issue, or like, what, how do you see boxing overcoming this, or what needs to be done?
So boxing needs to stop talking about women's boxing. There's only one boxing. There's boxing, and there's boys who box, and there's girls who box. And because it's not like track and field or basketball, where we're on two separate venues, events, network, right? Like, we're on the same show. So you have a boxing show, and then you have boys that do it and girls that do it. And unfortunately, the industry is still separating how we treat boys from how we treat girls. The industry is still saying things like, well, nobody wants to see women box. And my answer to that is, boxing is one of the only things left where people get away with saying that. People didn't want to see women join the army or the Marines. People didn't want to see women as doctors and surgeons. People didn't want to see women as head chefs. People didn't want to see women as the vice president. But we're doing it because we're qualified. So when you have a woman that comes out of the Olympics that has the potential to beat all the other women in her weight class, why is she not treated like the boys are? Why is that woman not brought up the same way? And we can continue this conversation, which is very technical and boring and backdoor business, but anyone who knows anything about boxing knows what I'm talking about. Men have a certain blueprint from how they go from the amateurs to their very first professional fight to the very first time that they hit the television. And usually between 0 and 10 fights, a promoter knows this kid's gonna be a star, or this kid is going to be an opponent, okay? Mm-hmm. We're either bringing him up like a superstar or bringing him up like opponent. And I'll tell you, not one of those decisions are made based on how the boy looks, how many tickets the boy sells, how the boy dresses and looks at the weigh-in. They're all based on his talent and merit as a fighter. Women are not brought up like that. And until women are seen for their skills and their capability of fighting and are just seen as, you have to promote yourself and sell yourself, that's the only thing that I can say the way this is going to change.
Yeah, it's an interesting, especially with the amateur side of boxing, you know, just getting more attention on it. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough situation. Like you said, hopefully with the promoters,
you know, sorry, my show is calling.
I will say, I guess to be a little positive here, I'm hoping, hopefully it's not just kind of like a facade, but it does seem like with Eddie Hearn, obviously he's one of the younger boxing promoters, right? You know, there's a lot of old guys in the game, been around forever. And, you know, he's really pushing Katie Taylor. He's pushing some of those other UK fighters, women fighters. So that does seem to be encouraging. You know, he's putting them on big cards and he's looking to make those steps. So I guess we can only hope that he can kind of help be a pioneer in boxing. He seems like really kind of the spearhead for the movement. But, you know, hopefully he can continue to do that. But as far as, I mean, I will say, like with the Clarissa Shields situation, obviously her leaving boxing, you know, it's sad because, like you said, it's like she is obviously such a special fighter. She has all these belts. And I mean, it's a good move for her to go to MMA, I'm sure, for money. But man, I mean, it's boxing's losing a star and doing that. I mean, I know even if she has, as you know, training for an MMA fight, that's going to take a lot of time away from her.
Yeah, but she's already made it clear she's not leaving boxing. She's just gonna take a break and come back when an opportunity presents itself, which is kind of exactly the same thing I did. Kept it in my arsenal, you know, it was this piece in my toolbox, and it proved to do the right thing for me because it allowed me the opportunity to fight for my world title. It allowed me the opportunity to fight Amanda. I got on big platforms like DAZN and HBO because of the exposure that MMA gave me, because they promote their fighters. So I got that MMA promotion and it translated into new fans who pushed the boxing promoters. I mean, listen, we can say it's sad, we can say it's awful, but Instead, say boxing is awful. Boxing is awful to women. We don't got a choice.
Yeah, well, hopefully things improve. You know, that's really all I can say. And maybe from, you know, the coaching side of things, I know, you know, you've been training a lot of people through this quarantine, and I'm sure, you know, you could do a great service to the sport maybe once your career is done, if that's a path that you wanted to do. Obviously, I don't know if it is, but, you know, that's another interesting side of things, is people like you really leading that charge even when your career is over.
Mm-hmm. I haven't really given it much thought yet. I had a lot of time thinking about whether or not my career was actually over, and I don't believe it is. So for now, I'm focusing on the comeback and see what 2021 has in store for Heather Hardy, the Heat, who's still a fighter.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a fighter. I mean, that's what you know, I love watching about you, and I think a lot of the fans, you know, they love that, you know, the photo you post of, you know, at the weigh-ins, all done up, and then the other one, you know, nose broke, bleeding. Yeah. But the heart you show is like what people really connect with, and that's what people love in a fighter. So, for sure. You know, you're an inspiration to watch, and, you know, for sure, one of my favorite fighters to watch as well. So,
thanks.
But, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and spending some time to talk to me today. You know, I hope all is well, and I can't wait to see you back in the ring soon.
Okay, and I'm sorry I was late.
No worries.
Okay.